This is the Gemini Ransom Effect.
Welcome back to the Gemini Ransom Effect on 107.1 FM WJBB Radio. You're listening to GRE with Triple D, Devin, David, and not DeBose. We had a little technical difficulties coming back from the break because my partner in crime over here, I have to put a wall between us so I can stay focused.
Is it a brick wall?
It's a paper wall.
It's a cute little curtain.
Did you get a union labor person to put that up?
No, I did not, because I didn't want to pay them $20 to do something that apparently I could do myself.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, let's continue.
All right.
So the question was, before we left and went on break, the question was, should the government increase the tax rates on profits earned from the sale of stocks, bonds, and real estate?
No.
And that's like the death tax, man. That's ridiculous. It's like death tax is like 50%. That's crazy.
I think they do it because of the amount of corruption that's involved in the sale of those items.
Yeah, but I mean, you gotta think about this. I mean, you have a huge portion of the bulk. I mean, you think about the people that go in. They plan accordingly for the future. They invest their money. They put in their 401ks. They put in their IRAs. They sacrifice as they're younger so they can save, and they're being responsible for the future. So you go and retire. You don't want to just live on Social Security. You want to save for your retirement.
Right.
So you go and you increase the taxes on the capital gains. Now, yeah, the money that you put into it is, you know, if it's like a Roth IRA or something like that, the money that you're putting into it is after-tax money. But when you're looking at other forms like your 401, like a 401k, that money's never been taxed before. So the benefit of that for people that are, you know, retiring is, you know, maybe you're making a little bit more now. Well, you know, if your current tax rate is 35-40%, well, when you retire now, your tax rate, because you actually have no income, you know, your investments is not considered income. So when you go and you retire, now the money that you've invested into your 401k, that's being taxed at a lower rate. Does that make sense? That's why it's important to do that. However, you know, the money that you've made over the course of your responsible 20, 30, 40 years that you've invested before you retire, now you want to go and you want to increase the taxes on that money for retirement that you've planned for the future. I don't agree with that. I don't think that's a good plan. I don't think that's a good idea for those people that are currently in retirement that are living off of their pension, living off of their 401ks, living off of their investments. So
yeah, no, I don't think I don't think they should increase it.
So okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to sports. And after sports, then we're going to come back in and we're going to finish
break up the political monotony,
and we're going to finish off with our iSide with .com questions. So
you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 because he's a good guy at sports.
So you're not good at sports.
Thank you, Homer. Almost twice.
Oh, there you go.
We're gonna start some sports out with a little bit of NASCAR talk.
Oh man!
Yeah. So we got Papa D on the phone.
Papa D
on the phone. He's gonna come in and give us the NASCAR scoop. He is a NASCAR fanatic and just a straight good old straight shooter about
the
NASCAR.
You can only imagine the NASCAR report he's gonna give.
Well, see, you know, when you're in your garage and, you know, the weather's nice and you got the garage door open, the refrigerator's got your beverages cool in there, and you're well lubricated. Watching NASCAR on the big screen in the garage. I mean, you know, I mean, sometimes you just got it that way. I mean, you know,
what do you say? Everybody would love to have it like that.
Yeah,
I don't even got it like that.
Papa D, you with us?
I'm here, buddy.
All right.
You live from Tuscaloosa, Georgia, in front of the Patterson Hospital.
Whoa. Got the Prime View checking on chainsaw victims.
That's right. Them damn millenniums.
trying to cut the limbs above their arm. That's always a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's going on in the world of NASCAR these last few weeks?
I'm going to tell you, if you didn't see the Vegas race last week, you really missed out. We had some of it all. We had 50 mile an hour wind gusts.
Dang.
We had sandstorms.
Hey, what's happening?
Is Devin trying to sign on again?
He's trying to sign back on. Sorry about
that,
Papa.
It's that good old Monroe Utilities, I tell you.
Devin is known to be a little premature.
Yeah, you need to do that on your own time, not on my NASCAR time.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, we had 50-mile-an-hour winds, sandstorms that you couldn't even see across the track. It was so bad.
Wow.
Rain, trash that had blow down onto the track, which is causing some of the cars to run hot. We had speeding penalties. We had tire problems.
Speeding penalties?
Had a race?
How do you get that?
Pit road.
Oh, pit road. Okay. Yeah.
Anybody got any duct tape? Because apparently we're talking above his knowledge.
Wow. I just figured they were race cars. I didn't know you get speeding penalties. And
it's for the safety of the crewmen. Yeah.
So
you know, back in Papa D's
if you're out there on the track, you're gonna get hit.
Well, back in Papa D's day, they didn't have to. They just showed up in their speed limit. They cut off jean shorts and a beer.
Speed limit. That's what, like 1820s, 1830s, yeah. Something like that.
I'm just saying they showed up in their jean shorts and a beer, and now they
changing
have to
tires,
have,
baby.
They have to have a helmet and a fire resistant suit, and you know all these safety precautions.
Gator fans wearing jean shorts.
Wow. And I'm sure Professor D remembers the good old days when you come in pit road just as fast as you could go. Get out just as quick as you can. And you didn't have no penalties. That's true. That was back in the good old days. But then when they started running over people and catching on fire, and then they put pit road penalties. So there were several of them that did break the speeding penalties, and then they were penalized.
Oh, the good old days back before restrictor plates.
That's correct. Bring what you got, run what you got.
Run what you brung.
That's right. Sort of like Winder Speedway.
There you go.
It's just like Winder Speedway.
It's exactly
that's
like
right.
Winder Speedway.
You run 5 laps and then you fight for 10.
There you go. You go watch a fight and a race breaks out.
Right, and they were was a very close race. Brad Kowalski did win by photo finish over Joey Logano. Jimmy Johnson come in third. Kyle Busch was fourth. Austin Dillon was fifth. And Ryan Blaney was sixth.
So what's the
and old T-shirt salesman Darrell Earnhardt Jr. Finished eighth.
T-shirt salesman. Wow.
The top 10 finish, huh? So where's what's the points looking like?
Well, the old points is looking like this. We have Kyle Busch is number one in points. Jimmy Johnson is number two, and remember, Hendrick Motorsports only has one driver in the top 10 in points at this point. Kevin Harvick is third. Joey Logano is fourth. Kurt Busch is fifth.
Brad Kowalski, everybody loves him.
Sixth. Carl Edwards, seventh. Danny Hamlin, eighth. Mark Truex. This Mark Truex is impressive. Frontier Road, which is a one-car team. And, run good all last year, and it started out with a good season
good
so
run
far
so
this
far,
year.
Yeah.
So Austin Dillon,
tell me who's number six again.
Number six is old Brad Polak Kowalski.
Kowalski. Okay. Okay.
That's right.
I just want to hear you say
it one
more time.
I say it better when I got on natural light.
Oh, it's Kowalski.
He's related to Kowalski.
So the Bush, both of the Bush high. Brothers are in the top five, huh?
And then old T-shirt salesman, Earnhardt Jr., he is number 12.
Bringing up 12, huh?
Nationwide spokesperson.
Yeah.
Right.
He's also a master treehouse builder now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I know you're glad to see the Bush brothers in the top five. I know how big of a fan you are.
Oh, yeah. They'll be crying before the year's over.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Some way.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But really, it started off. First three races has been good. They're going to Phoenix next week, which everybody knows Phoenix probably will belong to even Danny Hamlin or Kevin Harvick.
There you go. Prediction right there.
And, we can't leave out Danica. Precious little Danica.
Oh, little Danica. Where's she at?
26.
26th in points. Man, she's...
Yeah, she is really booming.
She's on the rise, huh?
She's on, well, Ricky may be. She's not really on the rise.
Wow.
I tell you, another rookie, though, that's really going to see him coming up is going to be Chase Elliott.
And that's Bill Elliott's son, right?
That's Bill Elliott's son by his younger wife.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Younger wife.
Hey, that's right.
Get it, Bill. Do what you do. You think?
He had to upgrade.
That's right. But another thing I want to bring up while we're talking about NASCAR. You know, we have a nationwide sponsor that's in NASCAR.
Yeah.
That sells a lot of T-shirts through Dale Jr.
Uh-huh.
And they come to.
Why are we dialing again?
Devin's signing back on. And they come to Atlanta. You know, that's in our back door.
Uh-huh.
But yet, our nationwide representative, top sales 56, I think he said top 56 in the United States in sales.
48.
Cannot get a damn ticket.
I actually forgot to ask. I probably could have gotten tickets.
Oh, there it is.
Papa D, I will get you a ticket.
You should have heard the explanation I got.
Hey, don't complain. You got backstage access to NASCAR.
Hey, I got a picture with Bo Bice.
This man,
I'm not complaining.
This man got to go to the driver meeting.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah,
in the Ritz-Carlton. To go to the NASCAR race
and we will
in a
not,
luxury limo.
We will not say what had to be done to get that.
Yeah, in the back of the
just
limo.
Just ask Aaron. He'll tell you.
Yeah. Oh, snap.
But one other thing I do want to say before I go. Guys, I really enjoyed your political questions that y'all were asking, but there's one thing I do want to remind you of. When you talk about drug testing, sorry people, that's drawing food stamps.
Yep.
And if you turn around and you legalize drugs, what good is it going to do to drug tests now? Because if you legalize it, they're going to be able to get it. So think about that. Just leaving you with a little
tidbit from Papa D.
Yeah. A news nugget.
Thanks so much.
Then think about that option. That's,
That's a good point. Good point. Thank you so much. Appreciate you calling in.
All right, guys. Love all you boys. Y'all take care.
All right.
Bye. See you, Papa D.
See you. Bye.
And there you have it. You are now educated in all the facets of NASCAR.
I want to just say that we should have Papa D call in as much as possible.
Absolutely.
Because when we had him here in person, where was that?
I don't know.
It was late in the show when he was here in person. It came on
real late.
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something, man. You know, a little halftime status update. He's jumped up to 5.
Just in his call-in.
5 dB checks. I don't know if we can catch him.
We may not be able to catch him. As the rules go,
Junior over here is coming close with 3.
If you're a guest, you're eligible.
Wow.
Good deal. There's your NASCARs.
That was good.
All right. So let's bring up old Roddy White. And you know, Roddy White. I think on March 2nd. Got his release from the Falcons.
While on a flight to Belize, he gets a text.
Really?
Yeah. Roddy, by the way.
Yeah, that was so nice of him. But yeah, he got his release. There's been a lot of different emotions about that. Some fans can understand it. Some fans don't understand it. And
I think they should have kept him over Matt Ryan every day of the week.
Well, you know, and Roddy isn't quite happy with the way that it was handled, apparently. Roddy is ultimately blaming offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan for his dismissal.
His last name is Shanahan.
Shanahan.
Yeah.
According to Roddy White's agent, that's who they're faulting the blame on. And Shanahan and Roddy didn't quite see eye to eye about Roddy's role in the offense. Roddy obviously wanted to be a big part of the offense, as he has been for the prior 10 seasons before last season. And Roddy believes that Shanahan wanted other receivers to take his spot in the offense. The way that Roddy White's agent describes it, Kyle Shanahan basically gave the Falcons an ultimatum to choose between him or Roddy. And that's what came from Roddy's agent, is what he said.
And I say win a Super Bowl or get fired. I mean, if you're going to make a demand as ridiculous as that, like you're in third grade, you either play with me or you play with him, you know. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a grown adult. You need to sit down and do what's best for your organization. You have someone who is one of the best wide receivers to ever grace your field as an Atlanta Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
You provide them with the respect that they deserve, and you make him a part. He needed to be more bigger, you know, part of the offense last year.
I think so, too, and I don't know. You know, you read some reports that says he had a hard time getting open. He had a hard time creating separation over the season, and that's why he didn't get as many catches. And you know, but you read one report and you read another report saying that he was just kind of more of a decoy. You know, so it's hard to pinpoint exactly what the case was, but Dan Quinn piped in on the matter, stating that it was his decision. It was Dan Quinn's decision and nobody else's. And you know, if you look at it the other way, though, you know, Roddy wasn't even really the number two receiver last year. And in the offseason of 2014, the Falcons signed him to a 3-year, $30 million contract extension, which obviously gives him about $10 million a year. And, I mean, he's 34, you know. $10 million a year on a team that needs so much, you know, is tough. That's a tough one to swallow. And, you know, you look at it from that point. But I really think that it probably could have been done in more of a classier fashion. Roddy White's been great for the organization. He's not one of those guys that you hear on the news every other month that's gotten arrested, or, you know, he beat somebody up, or it was in a nightclub and somebody got stabbed. I mean, you don't hear that about Roddy White.
He's a country boy, man.
He is a class act that has been nothing but great for this organization, and I feel like he just, at least at minimum, deserves so much more respect, you know, and I just feel like that he didn't get that. So at 34, he finished his Falcons career with 808 receptions, 10,863 yards, and 63 touchdowns, and he only caught 43 passes last season. So thank you, Roddy White. So hopefully somebody else will pick you up and win a Super Bowl,
yep,
and you can tell the Falcons that they're number one.
There you go.
So – spring training started, man. I don't know about y'all, but, dude, I get fired up every time spring training starts. And then, you know, the first week of the season, I watch, and I'm fired up about the Braves season starting. And I know this year there's not a whole lot of expectations. So after about probably the second week in the season, I'll probably calm down a little bit. But we're a few games into spring training, 10, 11 games or something like that into it. And there's a few things going on in the camp, and there's three young Braves that are going to be the future of this team. And so far, I know it's, you know, somewhat early in the season, but they're having strong seasons. And that's Ozzie Albies, Dansby Swanson, and Malik Smith. Ozzie Albies is 19.
Wow.
He is a shortstop from the Curacao, which is where Andrelton Simmons was from. Albies is hitting in the 350s right now. In spring, and doing really well defensively, doing some great things. Dansby Swanson has been playing some second base. He was drafted as a shortstop, number one, by the Diamondbacks in 2015, number one overall pick. Nobody could believe that the Diamondbacks traded him to Atlanta, but thank you.
Yeah,
we sure appreciate that. He's 22 and he's from Kennesaw, so he was born in Kennesaw, Georgia, and went to college at Vanderbilt. Swanson's defense has been compared to Derek Jeter, which I'm sure he'd take that all day long. But they also said that he's a better hitter than Jeter is what they anticipate. So, but remember, he was drafted.
It sounds like a lot of the new roster's young. Yeah.
It is, and they've gone young. And Swanson so far is hitting in the 280s right now. Just his defense is just solid. Malik Smith is an outfielder that has been in the Braves organization for a season. I think he came from the San Diego organization before that. Played Double A Mississippi and Triple A Gwinnett last year. He finished the minor league season with Triple A Gwinnett last year and hit .306 for the season, which is strong. We'll take that. And also, the biggest thing that I noticed, he stole 57 bases last year.
Wow.
57 bases, man. That's incredible. Has a lot of speed. He only got caught 13 times.
Thief.
So. So far this spring, Malik is hitting in the 430s.
That's impressive.
That is insane.
I can't wait to see some of them be able to get out on the field and play. It's going to be interesting.
Okay. So, yeah, absolutely, man. That's going to be great. We're going to finish that up. We'll finish up the spring break or the spring baseball talk when we come back and touch on one more story, and then we'll get back into some political I side with.
Awesome. And you've been listening to 107.1 FM, WJBB.
This is the Jim and I Ransom Effect.